I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus 16. Exodus 16, Old Testament book. Good morning, Catherine. Welcome. Good to see you. Good to have family members back coming for the Thanksgiving celebration. Exodus 16 in your Bibles, please. Follow in your Bibles as I read. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out here into the desert to starve this entire community or this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one of you is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little, and when they measured it by the omer, he who had gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. It's Thanksgiving time. What's on your menu for Thursday? Turkey? Dressing, squash, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, pumpkin pie. Don't forget the gravy. I don't mean for the pie. I mean for... Well, not everyone, of course, can look forward to that bounty. Here's a painting, famous painting, of a man. What is he thankful for? Well, we can see bread and soup. He has a Bible. Big Bible. Must be large print and thick paper. He has clothing. He has shelter. He's thankful. What if that were our menu on Thursday? Bread and soup. Would we be thankful or would we be complaining? Let's try to be honest about that just for a moment. If that were our menu. Now, we're celebrating the harvest. And we in our country are gifted with a very generous harvest. We have bounty for which to thank God. And as our families come together, we enjoy a great feast and we celebrate God's provision and God's grace. In this passage is about manna. My message this morning is entitled Manna Burgers for Thanksgiving. This passage is about manna. And notice as the passage begins, Israel is complaining. Now, the date was indicated in verse 1 and 2. It's they've only been out of the promised land, I mean out of Egypt for a month. 1 month before, it was Passover. The angel of death passed over their homes as the blood of the Passover lamb was seen over their doors. They were saved miraculously a month before. They had gone to the Red Sea, hotly pursued by Pharaoh and his army, and they had walked through on dry land, and Pharaoh and his armies were destroyed. That was 1 month before. And now, in the desert, following the Lord, they're hungry, and they complain. Wish the Lord had just slain us in Egypt. You brought us out here to kill us all in the desert. Remember the pots full of meat we had in Egypt? They complained. And God responded with grace. He provided manna. Now, there are a lot of complaints in the Bible. If you read through the Psalms, you read a lot of complaints. I mean, complaints addressed to God because of treachery. Complaints addressed to God because the enemy is defeating the people and they cry out to God, Lord, where are you? Save us, rescue us. Those are complaints of faith, longing for God and his glory to be manifest. This complaining is not a complaint of faith. This is a complaint of unbelief. This is a complaint of rejecting God's grace and mercy. This is a complaint of self-centeredness. And unfortunately, we're good at it, aren't we? We all are. Last time I confessed this sin was yesterday. You know, complaining, forgetting all of the answers to prayer, all the faithfulness and the goodness of God. It's easy for us to complain. 1 year later in the book of Numbers, we have the people of Israel complaining because of this manna. And it mentions, you know, in Egypt, we had the garlics and the leeks and the melons and the cucumbers. How good it was in Egypt. That's like a Christian who comes to the Lord and longs for his past. Remember how good it was when I had all of those friends and all of those parties and all of that? You know, how inappropriate, how wrong. They were forgetting, of course, the bondage, the slavery, the cruelty, the fact that the Egyptians were throwing their baby boys into the Nile. They forgot all that, conveniently, in order to complain that the God who had saved them was not taking care of them in the desert. And they attack Moses and Aaron. I mean, the leaders are close at hand. You brought us out here. And Moses reminds them that they're really complaining against God. One of the things that I want you to take note of is that the text emphasizes that God hears our complaints. That is said no fewer than four times. In verse 7, in verse 8, in verse 9, in verse 12, God has heard your complaining against him. And that's the way it's expressed. Your complaints or your grumbling against him. God has heard it. Now that's something we ought to take to heart. I ought to take to heart. When I'm complaining and taking for granted the gifts of God, God hears. He heard their complaint. That's emphasized in the text. Well, God, in his mercy and his grace, provides. Look at verse 4. It says, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. Now we know that there are a lot of people. A large group has left Egypt. The Bible says there are 600,000 men. And there were women and children, of course. There are a couple of million people out in the desert following that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And they come to a place where it's not evident what they can eat, and God provides manna. He's going to provide it every day, day by day. And obviously, he's teaching them to depend on God every day for their need. And he's also going to test them. Look at again at verse 4, the last sentence of verse 4. It says, in this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. He goes on to explain that on the sixth day, he's going to provide a double portion so that they will not gather anything on the Sabbath day. They are to gather each day except a double portion on the sixth day. It is a miraculous, amazing, astonishing provision of God. The provision of manna through the desert. It was, by the way, it was not a piece of cardboard. It was not one of those tasteless rice, what do you call them? Those rice, it wasn't one, it wasn't that. Look at verse 31. Right, yeah, those little rice things. I always have to put something on those things. Look at verse 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white, like coriander seed, and tasted like wafers made with honey. Now, interestingly, how is the promised land described? The promised land is described as a land flowing with milk and honey, right? So here they're getting a foretaste, literally, of the promised land. Because this that they are provided day by day tastes like honey. And they are told that they can bake it or boil it for food, and it has a honey-like taste. Okay, they are taught to gather enough for the day, and they are taught not to gather on the Sabbath day. Interestingly, the passage goes on to say that there was none provided on the Sabbath day. God took the Sabbath day off. He did not provide and expected them to learn from his example. What this teaches us, of course, is that we, as much as they, are dependent on God for our daily needs. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. And that is an allusion to the manna experience. And it teaches us that we are dependent, and we are to acknowledge that dependence as we bow before every meal and give thanks. It is an acknowledgement that we are dependent and grateful for God's provision. And, you know, someone may say, no, wait a minute. We worked hard for this money. For this food. We planned the menu. We purchased it. We did all this. We don't have to thank God for it. But of course, that's always the wrong way for us to think. It is God who provides the rain and the sunshine so that the grain can grow. It is God who provides strength so that we can work and provides jobs so that we can have an income. It is God who provides peace so that the trucks can bring the, so that the economy can function. It is God who provides our very breath. And so we ought to always, constantly be expressing our thanks and our dependence and recognizing our dependence and never imagine otherwise. If we have life, it is because God has given us life. That's the meaning of the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. There is a Jewish table prayer. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. The rabbis point out that for God to give us bread, he had to create the whole world. Because for bread to emerge from the land, there must be rain, there must be soil, there must be sunshine, warmth, there must be nutrients in the soil. God creates the world to give us bread. And all of that is part of what we say when we hold a piece of bread in our hands. It's a marvel of God's provision. Blessed be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. The Bible teaches that God provides for all of his creatures. I'm quoting now from Psalm 104. The Lord waters the mountains from his upper chambers. Who does that? The Lord does that. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. It's God who provides everything that we enjoy. God provides, but the animals must work to get their food, and in the same way, we also are provide. God provides for us, but we also work. And Jesus taught us, he said, the God who feeds the birds will feed you. He said, your Father knows you need all of these things. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's sort of the spirit of Bob and Judy's testimony, putting the Lord first in life, and then trusting God to lead. God is in charge. That gives us peace. Just like the Israelites complaining over manna, we sometimes take God's gifts for granted. Matter of fact, we do it very frequently, don't we? We take God's gifts for granted. We have so much. It's so easy to take shelter for granted, to take clean water for granted. So easy. We need to learn from those who have less. Irma Bombeck, the humorist, was a survivor of cancer. And she said, she wrote that she learned from other cancer survivors. She wrote about a girl named Christina. Christina was 8 years old. Christina had cancer of the nervous system. And Christina's birthday was coming, and she was asked, well, Christina, what would you like for your birthday? And she thought for a moment, and she said, I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything. Reminds us, we have so much for to be thankful, for which to be thankful. Or I read about David. David was 12 years old, was born without an immune system. And until he had bone marrow transplant surgery, he had to live in a bubble. He was 12 years old, had never been outside the bubble. and anticipating this surgery, which hopefully would result in a profound change in his life, he was asked, well, what do you want to do when you get out of the bubble? And he said, I want to walk barefoot in the grass, and I want to touch my mother's hand. Also a reminder that we have so much for which to be thankful. So if we had manna burgers for Thanksgiving, we could be thankful, couldn't we? We could be thankful. If our menu were basically that picture of soup and bread, we could be thankful. Here's the way the Apostle Paul puts it. Paul writes, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so we want to have that heart, that spirit, not complaining against God, but thankful. Complaining against God is the direct opposite of giving thanks, isn't it? Let me take you forward 40 years. The book of Deuteronomy is basically speeches of Moses given before the people entered the promised land. Before they entered the promised land, Moses speaks to the people. And so the passage I'm going to read now is Moses speaking. It's in Deuteronomy 8, and he is looking back on the 40 years of eating manna in the desert. This is what he said. Remember, this is Deuteronomy 8, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is an amazing passage. We learn more things about manna here. We learn, first of all, that it was God who caused them to hunger. God was testing them. Are they going to trust me? Or are they going to complain against me? God caused them to hunger, and then God provided the manna every day for all of those people. God provided. God tested them. Notice also, this passage teaches that manna, or our daily bread, leads us to God. In order that you might know that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, Moses said to them. In other words, this causes us to realize that there are more important things than the physical. I mean, we are not just physical beings, are we? We're much more than a pile of molecules. We need God. We need a relationship with God. We need the truth of God. And manna was designed, in part, to teach them that man does not live on bread alone. Interestingly, back in that picture we saw at first, you had a big Bible on that table. The man was thankful for bread and for soup and also for God's word. And that's an insightful, that big Bible. If we have a Bible in our home, if we're privileged to read God's word and grow in our faith through Scripture, that's an enormous privilege for which we should be thankful every day. Manna, Jesus also had a comment about manna. Let me read to you from John 6. This is Jesus speaking after he had fed 5,000, miraculously fed 5,000. This is what Jesus said. He said, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." Notice that sentence. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. They ate manna and they died, but the bread of God has come down from heaven, which if a person eats from that bread, he will never die. Jesus said in that passage, "He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." In this passage, he's calling us to personal faith, to commitment. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life and nothing. Nothing. All the troubles and problems and aches and pains and accidents and all the stuff that happens to us in this world, nothing can ever take that away. That is reason for thanks. Thanksgiving calls us to rejoice in God's gracious provision for our needs. That's my theme sentence. To rejoice in God's gracious provision for all our needs. Yes, we have abundance in our country. We're grateful to God that we enjoy an abundance of food and clean water and all the things that we have. We're grateful. And it is God who gives us every good thing that we enjoy. But our deepest needs are spiritual. Our deepest needs, our eternal needs, our profoundest needs are spiritual. And God's provision is so enormous. He sent his son. He did not spare his own son. He gave him through the death of Christ on the cross, through his resurrection. We have a relationship to God. And that, Paul broke out in thanksgiving. He said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift," in 2 Corinthians 9. That's what he has given us. Thanks be to God. Awestruck, we fall on our knees in thanks and praise. Regardless of the material possessions we have, if we have Jesus, we have everything. We have everything. I read this little reminder this last week. Happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. Let's bow together in prayer.